Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to think a little bit this morning about the idea of personal responsibility. This seems to almost be lost in our world today. In many ways, they're more advocating an idea of collective responsibility. But I think I think it's accurate to say that one of the tenets of Christianity and the ways of God is a personal responsibility. It's brought out in thoughts like the idea that every one of us will stand before the Lord for ourselves. That immediately brings to our minds the idea that I'm going to be responsible for me. Scriptures that say that we're all going to give an account to the Lord speaks of the idea that I'm going to have to be responsible for what I say and what I do. And it's not to say that I'm not responsible somewhat. My personal responsibility may overlay with yours. I may be some way put in be responsible for you or to do something with you or whatever. But the idea of personal responsibility is that everyone in here that's old enough to know and understand what I'm saying this morning, I want you to know that you're going to be responsible for, you're going to be responsible for yourself. You're going to be responsible for many things that are around you. In our world today, there is thoughts like this. I'm overweight and it's McDonald's fault. Well, it's humorous, but you know it's true. I'm an alcoholic and it's the brewer's fault. Not to say they don't have something to do with it. They'll meet God, sure as everybody else will. But to say that I'm awful angry and you make me that way. Well, that should be a truthful statement in there. But you're not going to stand before the Lord and get any credibility by saying, Brother Harlan made me mad over something, so I responded a certain way. I'm going to have to take the personal responsibility for my own self. We think of the idea where Cain slays Abel, and the Lord asks him a question that resonates down through to our time right now. Even to now, he says, when he asks him about him, Cain responds to the Lord by saying, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for him? Am I got a responsibility? Do you know, we ought to think about what I'm responsible for. What is it that I'm not talking about being nosy in anybody else's business, but to be fully aware of what I'm responsible for. You know that over my years, and I don't at all have any desire to be critical to the Church of God. I'm not. But I will say this about individuals sometimes. We all need a little help sometimes and boost along the way and those kind of things. And I've over the years heard a lot of people put blame on the pastor that he couldn't pray through or he didn't get his... Now, wait a minute here. Maybe you're somewhere along the line going to be responsible to meet God for yourself. Maybe it isn't always. I know that the pastor, that's who. I mean, yeah, you know, the pastor ought to be able to pray. He ought to be able to preach. He ought to be able to be the perfect person for you. But I'm going to tell you something. When he gets to be that, you're going to lose something. That's not what he's supposed to be. The only thing he is there for is the edification. He's got a job, a position the Lord gives him to edify, to get you responsible for yourself. So that, you know, the goal isn't that you always call the pastor to pray for you. The goal is that the pastor prays for you, you can pray for yourself. There is a power in joining together and praying together and be able to pray for that. But you know, the first line of defense against this is that you pray for yourself. That you meet God. When something happens, you go to the Lord and start talking to the Lord. You need a little boost or help, you call around a little bit. bit. But it isn't the first notion isn't that you go calling around. The first notion is that I'm responsible to be able to find God. I'm responsible for my own life. I'm responsible for my... You're not responsible for my devotion. I'm responsible for it. You're not responsible for where I go to service. I'm responsible for that. So everyone here, there's going to be a responsibility on every one of us here. And it's more than that, because as we go through life, God is going to place responsibilities.
That's right.
In our life, in our paths. There will be responsibilities that the Lord is going to place squarely in our paths, and it's going to be our position to be able to take that. You need some support in that. You don't know how to do it. Whatever. There is safety in the multitude of counselors. There's prayer warriors. There's ways of getting that. But the responsibility. Now, as being a minister, I can say this because it's happened to me a lot of times. And I want to take my responsibility. Lord, help me to be able to do it. But I've had people a lot, as I travel along the country, would come up to me and say, Brother Marty, I want you to go talk to my neighbor. Brother, I don't even know your neighbor. God didn't put me living beside of him. He did you. Well, I need you to go talk to my neighbor. But you thought about something, maybe you're supposed to go talk to your neighbor. What if I didn't come by? Does that mean he don't get talked to? And I ain't shirking my responsibilities. I hope you know that. I'm just saying that everybody's in this thing together here. I mean, everybody got some responsibilities about this. Oh, Brother Mark, I'm glad you're here. You need to go talk to my husband. I ain't felt that impression at all. I ain't sure it's my responsibility. Maybe it's yours. Maybe it's your responsibility. In Matthew, 25th chapter, verses 25 and 31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye come unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee we a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and come unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, least of these, ye did it not unto me. I don't think there's anyone here that would say, if Jesus himself was here, and I understood that he had a need, that I wouldn't meet it. I think all of us would have the kind of feelings towards Jesus for what he's done for us, that we would want to do that. See, if we see, you know, a statement there. When did we see? Without sin, there isn't responsibility. Without understanding and knowing, there's no responsibility. So you ask the obvious question, when did I become responsible? When did I become responsible? When did that come into my... I was not responsible because I didn't see you, Lord. I'm not responsible. When did I see? I didn't see. Jesus said you did see. Yes, you did. You saw the least of these, my brethren, and you turned away from the responsibility that I put in your path. Nowadays, it's said this way, tax the rich. That's the way we do it these days. Tax the rich is what they say out there. That's not what the Bible is talking about, is tax the rich. He's talking about personal responsibility. Not collective, not trying to get it off on someone else, somewhere out there somewhere. It's a personal responsibility for the things that God has allowed into my life. If there's somebody in your life that needs the Lord, think about the fact that don't wait for the minister to come into the position to be able to talk to them. It may be your responsibility. It may be a place where the Lord has brought this person into your... I mean, we're all to be ministers of the Lord, aren't we? Aren't we all to have a ministry of getting Christ to the world? We're Christians. We shine as a light. Didn't say just the ministers or a certain amount shine as a light on. Can you sing? I'm not going to judge your talent of singing, but I know this: singing touches people. I don't know how good you are at it, but it's a tool. If you've got the ability, it's a tool. In the right time and place, it'll touch somebody's heart. Not at church service. It'll touch somebody's heart. I was in the coal mine one time. In that old coal mine. Used to say that it was a place where the men's mouth was dirtier than their face most of the time. Oh, rough bunch of people under there. I was under there one time, and all of a sudden I heard the prettiest sound. Here goes this guy singing, "I saw the light." He was crawling. And I just saw his light over there. It was so pretty that I remember thinking, what a contrast of dark, dismal, dirty place. And right there in the middle of it, someone singing such a pretty sound coming out of there. And I remember it today after all those years because it touched something about me. And the responsibility. When did I see the Lord? He said to the Lord, when did I see or when did I become responsible? Well, I didn't see you, Lord, because if I'd have seen Jesus, I'd have helped him. And Jesus said, you didn't see. In the course of your life, you saw a hurting child, a hungry child. You saw people that were down and out. You saw. I wonder if this is excluded because there's a big tattoo on the side of their face. I have to ask these questions. Is that excluded? Does that exclude in this? Jesus couldn't have been talking about that person that had defiled themselves. That it would possibly, when you see that, when you see me, could it possibly be that the Lord loves everybody and he's concerned about everybody and he takes humanity as his children and that he really means that there's a responsibility here for you to get at my spirit and help me with this. For you to have the spirit that I have to feel the same way that I do about people that's abusing themselves. I want them to be saved. I want them to be helped. I want you to have the tools that I want to give you so that you can put your arm around them or say a good word or sing a melody or do something that you might touch their lives. Well, I'm not responsible because I can't sing, so I'm out of that one. I can't sing, so I'm out. Right? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure sometimes. I think the Lord can use, if we'll give it to him to use. When did I see this? And the Lord said, you saw it. This is a touching scripture to me. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. When did you see, when you saw the least of these, my brethren? When you saw their heartache and their hurt, you saw me. You could have helped me right there. This is your place to do it. Another scripture is in... 10th chapter of Luke. Luke 10. The 30th verse. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, get it? Here's the word again. This is where he become responsible. It says, and when he saw him. Responsibility was upon him when he saw him. This is where the enlightenment of the situation came. This is where the understanding, here's a man that's been beat. This is where it's at. And he saw him, and it goes into his understanding. And it says, he passed by on the other side. I know I explained this different times, but it's so vivid in my it's so obvious in my understanding of it. Here comes the priest by, and he looks and sees a man that he wished he hadn't. Obviously, he saw him, and it didn't move him to respond. This man responded. He actually responded. He responded by getting us, removing himself physically as far from the situation was really only removing his responsibility in his own mind. The farther I am from this situation, the less responsible I become. If I hadn't seen him, I wouldn't be responsible. Now that I did see him, he's on this side of the road, and this guy went by on the other side. Does that make any sense to you? Practical sense. Why would he do it? He could have walked by him 2 feet from him and kept on going. No, there's a real meaning here. I'm not taking the responsibility. I'm going to remove myself as far from the responsibility that I can get. And here this man is, but I'm not responsible. I'm not going to be responsible. But was he responsible? What's Jesus saying about this? Here's a man that was with the height of responsibility. He was in the place of responsibility. He should have took the responsibility. Not only that, I don't fix the events of the day. I have no ability to make events or stop them. They'll happen, and I'm a pawn to them. I'm a subject to them. I'm put in the place that it's there, and this happened. And the priest didn't have anything to do with it, but he was put in directly responsible to come along. To come along. God cared. The man's coming here. I'll send this one. He comes along at this time. Why did God give you breath this morning for? Why did he allow you to eat this morning? Why did he allow you to go on living? To face the events of the day. Here's the event. He comes by. And right there put before him was God's mission, God's call, God's purpose. He's a Jew. You're a priest of the Jews. Come on, you get the connection. Responsible. And he walks to the other side. I'm a human. You're a human. I'm a Christian. It makes me responsible. It makes me responsible for some things that other people may not be responsible for. I'm responsible. Put in the position of responsibility here. What is a call to prayer? You ever think about it? I had occasions before somebody do something in our life, something that's not good, and my wife real quick to say, well, we'll pray for them. And they say, you know what? That's an amazing thing. You want the saints to pray for you, all you got to do is abuse them. And it's a call. It's a responsibility. God gives us a responsibility. Do you know that I can look at the political world and say, what a mess. And you know what the Lord said to do? Pray for them. You mean, who pray for them? You. Pray for your rulers and leaders. Pray for them. It's we're responsible to pray for them. So when did I saw this situation, the priest comes by, and he goes on. He didn't take the responsibility. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came, looked on him, and passed by on the other side. And it's the same scenario. First is the priest, and next is the lineage of the Levites was given to the priesthood and to the ministering of the temple and to taking care of that thing. So the Levite was another one of the ministration, and a Levite comes by. He passes by on the other side too. He did the same thing. There before him was an event of the life, and he was responsible for it, but he went on. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil in and wine, and set on his own beast, and brought him to an end. You didn't know the story there, but here was a man that came by and run into an event and took the responsibility that was put right there before him. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but we'll say in the hard times, things, difficult times, we'll encourage one another. And remember, COVID-19 is raging, but God's in control. It is an encouragement we use often with one another. We'll say to remind one another, God's on his throne. Amen. Amen. Nothing can take us out of his hand. Amen. Yes. Nothing. There is no, there. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord. No. Yeah. Amen. That's God's on the throne. God's there. There is not a temptation taking you to such as common to man. That God is faithful. God is always faithful and will with that temptation make it the way of deliverance. We encourage each other with those ideas that God is in control of this situation. Don't you think that thief's laying there hoping that's true? I mean, the guy that got robbed by the thieves, the man that was abused, don't you think he's sitting there hoping that's true? I hope God sends somebody by. He's sending me a priest. Send me a Levite. No, right on he goes. Who's this guy? Oh, he'll surely pass me by because they hate us. No. He took the responsibility of it. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this as you go through life and all of a sudden you run into somebody, you meet somebody new, there's somebody there. Have you ever thought that maybe this is somebody that God run into my life on purpose? Maybe this is a situation that I need to have my personal responsibility higher. I need to take a personal. This is somebody that God has put into my life. Yeah. Yeah, very, very likely. Another scripture over in 16th of Luke. Luke 16:19 says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Well, I suppose most everybody would lean towards that. It says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate. Well, he wasn't laid at my gate, rich man. He wasn't laid at your gate. He was laid at this rich man's gate, full of sores. He had needs. He was a beggar. He was poor. And all of this may have been a little disgusting. Maybe he didn't have a bath. Maybe he had some other issues. But he's at your door. He's at your gate. It might be that it's your responsibility. It might be that the Lord brought it right to the right place. Lord, help us to consider our own personal responsibility in this, in the kingdom of God. Do you know you can take care of your personal responsibility and you don't have to crow it from the rooftop? All of us have these events that come into our lives to where we should be willing. It's a responsible place. I'll tell you something that one of the brothers in our congregation, Brother Mike, says. Because we get occasionally people around that need help. They call us for help. We need something paid for. We need electric or there'll be something. And we are well aware that people's integrity isn't always so high that they wouldn't take advantage of a church. Right. They will. And we know they will. And so I kind of took it on myself to be the one that kind of critiques the people and talks to them a little bit. But Brother Mike's got a saying that he says often when we're saying this. He says, I would rather be safe with this than sorry. I'd rather give money to somebody that don't need it than not give it to somebody that does. That's the way he looks at it. I'd rather meet God fulfilling that because it's only money. And I appreciate that place because somebody will say, well, we really need money. And I've had some real good conversations with them and always try to tell them about the Lord. And the bottom line is usually we try to help them because they're put at our gate. Understand what I'm saying? They're put at our gate. And we're responsible. And I don't want to do it wrong. Put it our span. I told this story several times. But when it's in our world, we're being responsible for our sale. And people come into our congregations. Saints are wonderful about it. I'm just saying. To go up to them and say hi. They're put in our world. And there's a story of Queen Elizabeth. I tell it quite a bit. It was really a fascinating story they told about her. It has all these people there, and there's a guy there that don't know and understand the routine of what goes on at a royal banquet or whatever it is. They got around this fine table with all their finery and all. And they was going to have they had this bowl of water sitting there with this little towel. And you eat these little hors d'oeuvres and stuff, and then you're supposed to wash your fingers real, you know, do this little fancy stuff that they do. That's what it was for. Well, the guy didn't know what he's doing. There's some water there, so he takes the water and he takes a drink of it. Well, it's supposed to wash your fingers with it, and he takes a drink of it. And Queen Elizabeth, it's her. This is hers, right? And so when he did that, of course, I imagine everybody's looking at, you know, the strange guy over here. Queen Elizabeth gets her bowl and drinks it out of the bowl and sets it. Because it's her world. She didn't want people to be embarrassed at her table. She wants people to feel the grace. She wants to feel the goodness of the place. She don't want them to be embarrassed or, that was dumb. Look at this guy over here. That's the way people want to act about it. No! We're responsible for our conduct in this world. We're responsible for our conduct with one another. There's a guy over here. Why would you want to make him feel that way? And I remember getting the same feeling one time. I walked out of our chapel one time, and there was a brother that was there, and it was icy outside, and I was standing on the porch. I kind of stood on the porch, and I looked, and he got out of his car, and it was icy, and his feet came out from under me, and I remember the feeling. I don't want to be a deceitful person or anything. I hope you understand that. But I turned away with the feeling that I didn't want him to know that I saw him because he was embarrassing to him. I don't want to act like I'm a fraudulent or something happened that didn't, or nothing like that, but there was a real sensation there of me not wanting him to be embarrassed. Amen. Or hurt. Because this is our chapel. This is our park. And this is our world. I don't want you to feel inferior or let down or put down. I don't want you to feel like you can't come back because you're embarrassed. I want you to feel the feelings what God is there, and grace and love and all of this is there. Who's responsible? Do you know one person can sure run that atmosphere? One person can tear an atmosphere up. But that's what Queen Elizabeth wants. That's what we want people to come in. They want to feel, I'm going to tell you, I want people to feel what I felt. I felt God. And I felt the love of the saints. And I felt people that really wanted me to succeed and do well. And I want them to feel that way. I don't want to go to somebody even that's abusing themselves and tell them, what a low down they're at. No. I want them to feel what God wants them to feel. I want to say, you know, we're getting a lot of different people. And they don't even think the way. I mean, all these people I'm running into, don't think in this way. And Lord, help us to take the responsibility to show Christ. Purposely say, whoa, Lord, help us to show you in this world. So here's the rich man living his life, fineries, purple. I mean, that's expensive stuff in those days. Fine, sumptuous always speaks of food to me. If something's sumptuous, it means it speaks of food. Food's the thing.
food's it, you know. I mean, you can make a lot of analogies, but food, I mean, we all understand food. I mean, all the flavors and all the food and living sumptuously. I mean, you can start talking food, you get to where people's at, right? I mean, we know food, right? This guy lived sumptuously every day. He was there. He made it. That's what you want. You want to live sumptuously. And now there's a beggar at your door. Man, I keep myself clean. My clothes is clean. And I eat sumptuously every day. And the people I get into my world are a certain kind of people. And now he's a beggar laying out there. Taking care of people will always cost you. It always costs you something to be able to do it. And now, here is a responsibility laid at. I'm not going to read all this, but just will say, this rich man did not go end up lifting his eyes up in hell because he was wearing purple, or because he ate some good fried chicken, or that he had some Brahms ice cream on the side. That ain't why he went. He went because he neglected to find Jesus in his own personal life. That beggar did not go to Abraham's bosom because he didn't have good clothes, or because he just ate a few crumbs that got thrown his way. That didn't save him. What saved him was he found a personal, through that hardship, he found a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's what made it the difference in there. The fact of it is, this is a perfect example, because here's a rich man that had the opportunity. God wasn't giving up on him. We say, well, some of these things are so, do this. I'm going to tell you, there's a man, I don't know what these discussions might have been like, but when it comes judgment time, there could have been very well the rich man say to the Lord, "Did I not have a chance?" And him say, "Yeah, he was called Lazarus. He had such a rich experience to me. If you had went out there and talked to him, he'd have gave it to you. If you'd have helped him a little bit, you could have entwined and you'd have had it, but you wouldn't do it. Here, the responsibility was on you. Right here, I laid him right there." An ironic scene in the scriptures to me is always the story of Saul. Saul is an ironic situation to me, because Saul hated David. Saul was going to kill David. Saul had to try to get rid of David. Why? Why, Saul? I mean, who do you better want in your life than David? Come on, Saul, you should have been thanking God. Man, you put David in my life? This man can sure take care of some Philistines. This guy is one of the best warriors, commanders, leaders. This guy was born for war. Thank you, God, that you put this guy in my life, because he is a terror when it comes to this stuff. And instead, he hated him. You know what's ironic about that is that Saul died at the hands of the Philistines. Who was in his life? Who would have been in his life to alter that? The guy he tried to destroy. Come on, Saul. Get some personal responsibility here for you, for yourself. God didn't come and choose David because you've been such a good king. He come and done it because take responsibility for yourself. You've got yourself exalted. Humble yourself. Take responsibility for yourself. Somebody else's fault. Let me tell you something, folks. Just, I ain't being harsh. When you start being critical on other people and other church people and all that, measure yourself. Come on, measure yourself. When you start being overly critical, you're going to find out that your problem. There's something in there that's a problem. Get responsible. Take responsibility. I shouldn't be thinking this way. I've had enough problems in my life. It's hard for me to be critical about anything. It's, Lord, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. Well, here's a guy laid at the gate of the rich man. Here's your salvation, brother. Here's your salvation right here. Well, it doesn't say, maybe I shouldn't take the liberty to do it. The scripture doesn't really say that he was mean to Lazarus or that he was good or anything else. But it sure sounded like he was just flat indifferent. There's a man out there at your gate, a beggar named Lazarus. And evidently, he died there at the gate. He didn't die in no fluffy pillow bed or fluffy bed, that's for sure, with a feather pillow. He didn't. The rich man didn't seem to want to better his life, and he was placed there in his life. And I want to encourage us that life's going to happen. And you don't know what God's got intended. Oh, that we could see the Lord. You know, I think sometimes we don't see the Lord because we don't allow ourselves to be put in the position sometimes to see the Lord. And if you're in the mode of living, seeing the Lord, and you want to see the Lord in these things, and so many times it's right there, and you can drive by the very opportunity that the Lord sets up for you right there. I had an experience one time, I was just thinking about it the other day. I was down on my knees praying. And brother called me. And while I was praying, Lord, what would you want me to do? Had my mind on that weekend even, was praying, Lord, what you want me to do? Phone rung, and there was a brother saying, I can't be at the congregation. It was a congregation up in Indiana. And he said, I was wondering if you could come up and be here for services on Sunday. And I said, well, I usually say I'll pray about it, but since I was praying about it, when it happened, I think the Lord's in this. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to go, so I did. Got up about Clarksburg going towards Indiana, and I started praying, Lord, this is a long drive to go by myself. Give me somebody to go with me. There's always somebody need to ride somewhere. So I was praying along, give me somebody. Just now I looked up the highway, I saw him and said, thank you, Lord. I think I see him. There's somebody to ride with. And we got over, sure enough, there was a guy to ride with. And he got in. Oh, he wasn't like me. He wasn't like me at all. He had stayed that night real cold winter night. He stayed under the bridge there in Clarksburg. That's where he wintered at. He was under the bridge. And I ended up asking him, I said, you had anything to eat? When's the last time you eat? Something like that. He said, I don't remember. I don't know. And I said, you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. And I said, well, I'll get you something to eat. He didn't have any teeth, up or bottom. I got him a couple of Whoppers, and he had to put them in to eat him like that. Pitiful. It was he was a Vietnam vet. He had some problems. You know what I'm saying? Seemed to have some problems. But you know, I still think I saw the Lord. Going along, and so we was talking and stuff, and just now he's over there asleep. I can see why he was asleep. We went a little farther, and where he was supposed to take off 77, he was going south. He got to 77, and it was warm in the car, and he ends up saying, I think I'll just ride a little ways with you. I'm, okay, well, I'm going. He said, I'll go. Don't need to be anywhere. Kept going. Anyway, we got over there, and still remember the truck stop where it let him out. Got over there, and I was courting my wife at the time, and we would pray together over the phone, and one of her burdens at the time, and she got me into it, was praying for the homeless people. And never had said anything to this guy about it. When he got out over the truck stop, I asked him, you got any money at all? Help you along the way? And he said, no. I said, well, here it. I gave you a little money. He said, well, you know, he'd be gone. And he turned around when he got out of the car and looked at me and said, keep praying for us. And I'm going to tell you, shivers went up. He walked off, and I said, I never told him anything. And he said, keep praying for us. I felt like maybe he didn't know what he just said. But the Lord knew what he had said. But if we never stretch ourselves, if we never reach into that place, if we never go there, we never get the experience. You never get to see it and experience it, understand it. And God puts in our lives a responsible place there. Sometimes I wonder how many times I went go by and not think about it. Another time I remember thinking, I went over to a family get-together kind of we was having, and nobody there that I knew of was even thinking about the Lord. And I just wasn't responding. I didn't think about it. And I get over there, and I remember how little I felt because I hadn't said anything about the Lord, nothing, just going along. And one of my cousins, who's a very rough character, ends up saying to me something about, he says something like, can I talk to you a little bit about the Lord? He says to me, he ain't even saved. And he said something like that, and I felt about that big. Right there in front of everybody, he makes a statement like that. And I thought, boy, you can sure miss it. Here this guy is needing something in his life. And I'm the guy that's supposed to be there. And I missed it. Just completely missed it. He wasn't put there for that, was he? Oh, I don't know. Maybe he was. Maybe he was. Lord help us. Another scripture over in Isaiah 58, chapter of Isaiah. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions in the house of... I wanted the third verse. Wherefore have ye fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have ye afflicted our soul, and thou hast taken no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and ye exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of the wicked, of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of the house, cast out to thy house? Let me read that again. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? Here was a position that Israel had got themselves into, to where they were still doing all this fasting, and it was totally for the flesh. It was totally for wicked purposes. And the Lord comes along and challenges them and said, here's a fast for you. Try this one if you want to be heard on high. Be responsible for yourself. Be responsible to this. To the poor, raise taxes on the rich. Give them more welfare. Do all that. No. Take them to the house. You feed them. You take responsibility for the ones that come into your path, into your life. You're responsible for the neighbor that moves in beside you. You make an effort for that. You reach out to those that are around you. You take care of the people that are hungry, to those that are hurting, to those that have a heartache. Put your arm around them. Tell them you love them. Take some time to do something with it. Be responsible for the Christian life that you've adopted. For we light a candle, right? Do we put it under a bushel? Do we put it under a shade? Do we hide it? No, they said we light a candle so that it can be set out, that its light will go everywhere. You don't have to have much of a light in a dark room, do you? You know these little old buttons on these things sometimes, these little computer buttons, these little computer things. When it gets real dark at the house, there's a light on a computer that'll light the room when you're getting used to one. A little light means a lot in a dark area. We live in a dark, dark world. And God wants you to light your candle. He wants you to light your candle. Oh, I've got some regrets too. I've got some times that I wish, and I go back and I think, Lord, help me. I wish I'd have done better. Me and Brother Tony one time went to visit this sister in Parkersburg. She was in the hospital. We went to visit her, and we went and sung to her and had scriptures and prayed for her and all this. And I kept noticing, I was kind of sitting beside the door, and I kept noticing there was a woman come from the adjacent room or somebody in the room, and she'd come and she'd look over where we was praying, and she'd look, and she did that a number of times. And I remember when we left to go out of there, oh, Lord, help me. I wish I'd have done better. But we walked out of there, and she kind of walked up to the door and just looked at us as we walked off. In my heart, I knew she was just short of being able to say, would you help us? To me, there was something longing there of her keep looking over there and wondering. I wish so much that I would have took that responsibility of this place that I was in. And I think often, I wonder if we was even there for the sister. Maybe we was there for them. Maybe God tried to hook up something and there was a priest that walked on by. I'm not responsible for you over there.
Oh, I'm only, of course, surmising. I have no idea. But in my mind after that, I've wondered many times. People that are in the hospital aren't in there because it's fun. This isn't like going to the amusement park. They don't go there for fun. There's something serious over there, and there's somebody in a serious situation, and they was looking towards a hope that I feel like it will let down. And I asked the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me to be able to be in a place that if there's a situation like that, I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that place because, you know, sometimes it's awkward or sometimes you can, but you know what you find? You find God. You find God working. You find richness there. You find something that's important there. It's laid at your feet today. And I want to challenge every one of us today. There is going to be events. As you go through this life, there's going to be events. We had a brother named Jim White. Some of you knew him. Most of you maybe didn't. But Brother Jim was a special person to me. He was one of my closest mentors, best friends. And the man had a way of being able to take an event. He went to town, was going to Elkins one day, and somebody stopped real quick in front of him, and he rear-ended them. I mean, he rear-ended them. He said, I was going to town, I had an accident, and I made some friends. He was so impressive with them that the people that he run into took him home and fed him supper. They contacted for the rest of his life. He was going to town and the events made it until he made lifelong friends. He was able to impart to them and they connected because of an event to where he was at fault. Well, you say it at fault, but God don't, little things to God, that ain't big to God. The events that happens and we run into, you know, they can be the moments. It seems like they're not very valuable, but can be the moments that are eternal.
That's right.
That can change people's eternal destiny right there in a moment because they run into a saint of God. They thought something else was going on and they run into a saint of God right there that was able to do something that altered their whole life. I ask you this in closing. There was a Samaritan that picked up a Jew. They were at odds, totally at odds. They did not like one another as a group. And a Samaritan comes along and helps this Jew, bounds him, puts him on his own beast. That means he wasn't riding, he was walking. And took him to the inn, told the ones at the inn, you take care of him and I'll pay you this. And if there's any more, I'll pay when I get back. Do you really think that that Jew thought the same about Samaritans after that? I'm going to tell you, if he thought the same of the Samaritans after that, he'd have had to have been an awfully hard, difficult fella. You couldn't help thinking better of the Samaritans after that. We get a pretty bad rap sometimes because of Christianity or Church of God. You get a pretty good rap on Church of God. And they can't help thinking better of it if they run into Jesus. That'll change the whole idea of it. You know how many people at home will come up and tell us when they come, we've heard some awful bad things about you guys. And say, and it ain't none of it true. Come and see for yourself. Come and see. And when you come and say, well, they said, well, I've not felt anything but love. And you all are so, you know, and so warm. And it changes the situation. I wonder if that Jew, according to his personality maybe, but can't help from thinking that Jew would have said, when somebody said, I'm on so much Samaritan, I can't help to think he'd say, well, they ain't all bad. Or maybe he'd even go farther and say, the priest walked by me, and so didn't the Levite. And this one rescued. I'd be dead today if it wasn't for him. So you can say what you want, but this means a lot. And our responsibility, there's a lot of causes in this world. And I'm not against secondary causes. If you want to go get a sign, go say unborn life matter or whatever you want to do, secondary causes. But I want to tell you what, don't drop the primary cause. As Christians, we have a primary cause. The primary cause, and this is first, it takes preeminence to everything else. And our first cause is Christ. He is the answer to every problem we have. You don't have to worry about a woman getting an abortion if she gets Jesus, right? She'll have the blessing then. You don't have to worry about somebody killing somebody if they get Jesus in there. You won't have to worry about it. It'll all take care of itself. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.